You may be seated. It's fun to just proclaim that in songs like that, or just proclaiming it. He is alive, He lives, and you know, a living God that we have the opportunity to come into relationship with, right? Not just some mute stone idol or something like that. We are talking a living God, amen? Amen. So may you just experience Him throughout this worship, throughout the week, and throughout your life, living in communion with Him, living in relationship with Him, talking to Him, just going through life with Him. It's a wonderful opportunity. Today we're going to learn about God's equipping, how He gives us everything we need. So let's start out with our readings.
Our first lesson is from 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 11. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our second reading is from Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will, and may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Here ends the lesson.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Jesus called His 12 disciples to Him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff. For the worker is worth his keep. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank You for this opportunity to gather in Your name and in Your presence, knowing that You are here with us. May Your presence as always change us, Lord, to be more like You and equip us for the missions that each of us have, to Your glory. Amen. Well, we'd finished out 1 Peter. We'd been at it since Easter, and we finished it out last Sunday. But there's a sequel, 2 Peter. And that's what we're going to delve into next year. Just three chapters worth, but there's so much good stuff in it. He's preparing them for what is to come. And things are really getting hot in Rome at that time under the reign of Nero. We'll get that later on. In the gospel today, we have Jesus prepping his disciples. He's giving them a briefing to set them out on a mission. And he's also giving them the authority that they need. In this pre-mission briefing, it's like an op order in the military. Before you undertake a mission, you get together all the leaders, and they're going to get all the primary information and disseminate down to the others. So he's calling together these 12. And an op order has five paragraphs. You have the situation, the mission, execution, surface and support, command and signal. It's been years since I had to do that, but it's still stuck in there, okay? It's one of those deals. So he's telling the situation. Here it is. You're going to bring the gospel to the lost Jews. The mission, what you're doing. Execution, how you're going to do it. Service and support, what you're going to need to do it. And then command and signal will be, you know, how you're going to communicate throughout it. They're not going to get much communication because they're going to be on their own out there. Jesus is back at headquarters. He's sending them out. They got the job to do. So he's prepping them for that. He's getting them ready for that. And before you go on any mission, you have to figure out what equipment do I have to bring. It's a big thing. And we can all relate to that too. Say you break down out in the field, unfortunately. You have to go back and get all the tools you need. You grab everything you think you're going to possibly need, and by the time you get back out to the tractor, what are you missing? The one thing that you should have grabbed, right? Anybody relate to that one? Okay. You got to make sure you have everything ahead of time. You have to equip yourself ahead of time. Make sure you have everything you need for the mission to carry it out successfully. And this mission is important to bring the good news to the Jews that were lost and eventually to the Gentiles as well and to us. We have been on the receiving end of that. We have heard it. And now we're on the giving end where we bring it to others. And God will equip us for that. And you might think, well, God, I'm not really worthy of that. I don't have the equipment or the tools, the equipping I need. How am I going to do that? I'm just a common person. Well, these 12 men that he's talking to here, common people. You got fishermen, okay? It's a job that didn't require any formal schooling, as anybody could do, all right? Very common job, common people is what he's got going on here. He's got a tax collector, which was a very corrupt position, but Matthew had a life change after an encounter with Jesus. Once again, yes, lives change when you encounter Jesus. And he came to be one of his primary followers. There are many that followed Jesus. We always think about walking around with 12 people after him. No, there are many. But these are the 12 primary ones, the apostles. We also have Simon the Zealot. And a zealot was a political radical at that time. They were plotting and scheming how to overthrow Rome. So that was perhaps his background. So he's got diversity here as well. He's got people that have different talents, different missions, and different things here. And he's also got who had proved to be a criminal, Judas Iscariot, who Jesus, of course, knew and kept him as one of the 12. I guess it was prophesied it had to happen for reasons maybe we don't even fully understand. So he gets these 12 together and he tells them what they're going to do, and then he's getting ready to send them out. And some of the advice he says, don't take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Okay, if we're going on a journey, we think we're going to need all that, right? We're going to pack the car with everything we need. Don't take along any gold or silver. Take no bag for the journey, extra tunic, sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. He'd also said, freely you have received, freely give. We've received too, freely. We have not earned our salvation. It's a gift. We are saved by grace through faith. We don't earn it. We don't work for it. It's a gift from God. It's all from him, the giver of all good things. It's not something we can buy. So as we have freely received, now we freely give, we share to others the hope that we have in Jesus. And we freely give to others in other ways as well. We give of ourselves and of our times. We help others. We make connections in the world, just as Jesus did. He didn't get paid for any of that. Going around healing people, he's a doctor. Did he get paid like a doctor? No. Preaching the word, get paid? No. But he always had enough to get by. Same way with the 12. It wasn't a paid position to be one of the apostles, but they always had enough to get by. God provides. God always provides. they expected nothing in return. It's not like some of these preachers you see where they got, you know, the fancy jewelry and the private jet or something like that. You know, no, not at all. These disciples didn't have a private jet, well, or a tricked out camel, shall we say, back in, put in the context of the times, right? They didn't have that tricked out camel with all the options and accessories. No, none of that. They're just traveling with the basic necessities. They're packing light. So like when you're infantry, you're going to carry everything on your back, and you're sort of thinking, do I really need this or not? You're going to get whittle it down to just the bare necessities. So yeah, this was a lesson then to depend on God. Don't bring all these things. Don't bring the extra clothes. Don't bring the money and things like that, because God will supply. So this is also, again, a lesson in that, that God will supply what you need when you need it. He's preparing them not only for this mission, but for missions that would come after the resurrection. As the 12 went out, and they did, 11 of them died for their faith on missionary journeys. They were sent out, just like Paul did too, and Peter, with little to nothing. But God provided when they needed it. And God equips them ahead of time as well. That's what Jesus is doing. He's giving them the information. He's telling them what they're going to need and teaching them to depend on God. And God did supply. They all came back, and he supplied through others. Through other people that they encountered. Hey, stop on at our place for lunch. Hey, you can sleep at our place. They didn't plan for any of this stuff. It was just provided along the way. Throughout Jesus' whole ministry, there were people that were providing. And that's how he made it. They probably, you know, took up or got a little bit of offering and for some provision as well. But again, it's coming through people. God working through people. And he works through us as well. So God equips them. And also, like I said, for the future, if we skip down to 19 and 20 there, but when they arrest you, and the apostles would be arrested later on, it wasn't going to happen during this mission, it was during future ones, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So he didn't give them a little card or a notes list or something like that. Oh, and when I'm asked this question, I'm supposed to give this response, okay? No, that's not the case there. We see it in other places, but not in the Bible, okay? God, the Holy Spirit, will give you the right answer at the right time. Again, totally dependent on him. Not having canned answers ahead of time, but just depending on God equipping what they need when they need it. And God providing. The equipping we also heard about in Hebrews today. Just a few short verses here that Gwen had read for us. May the God of peace, absolutely is the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, yes, that great miracle, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will. Everything good for doing his will. Not what we want, not what we think is best, but his will. And that's the important part there is, you know, many times with our human wisdom, we think that, oh, I need to do this or that or this is best. But what he's asking is for people to offer themselves up, that he can use them where he needs them. The right tool for the job at the right time. So when you wake up every morning, just say, God, however you want to use me today, have at it. I'm offering myself up to you. I surrender to you. Just take me and use me, even when it doesn't make sense to me. According to his will, right? For his will. That he may work in us what is pleasing to him. Again, surrendering to him. We know what's pleasing to us, but we're talking what's pleasing to God. To care for the lost sheep, to search them out, to find them. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be all glory forever and ever. Amen. So it's all about him, not about us. And that can be hard for us as humans because we think we know what's best and we want to do things our way. But no, God's way is the best way. And we don't always know what that is. But when we offer ourselves up, he's free to use us wherever he sees fit. And he'll give us the right tool at the right time. You're not going to use a hammer to try to drive screws, okay? It's not going to work. But he has different tools. He has different missions. And he's going to use us for the right one at the right time. And he'll equip us for that. He'll give us the words that we need at that time. He'll give us the actions we need at that time or whatever we need at that time. He's all about equipping. And that's what we had seen in 2 Peter as well. Verse 3, his divine power, we're talking his power, okay, without end. His divine power has given us everything we need right there. Everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. All right. So his divine power has given us everything we need. His vast storehouses, these warehouses that are just filled with everything that we need for that mission at that time, he'll provide for us in miraculous ways that we don't even expect or make sense of. There's that old story about someone's packing a box for a missionary in Africa, and they're putting stuff in there, and there's this hot water bottle. What the heck are they going to need that for in an equatorial region? You know, it's hot and humid there all the time. But no, put it in there. Huh? No, put it in there. You know, you're hearing this voice. They're getting this feeling. So they did. All right, find out later on that there was a baby that was born, and they needed to keep it warm through the night, and they had nothing. But someone luckily had packed this hot water bottle, and they were able to keep the baby alive. It's a really cool story. You can look it up on the internet. I should have read the whole thing here, but just remember, that's what I remember. And even when it doesn't make sense to us, God will provide through us. So listen to that voice, that still small voice. If you get a prompting from God, just saying, hey, pointing out a person or pointing out a situation, follow through on it. Follow through on it. Even when it doesn't make sense to us, God will use us for his purposes according to his will. Again, it's all about him. Okay, through this, he has given us his very great and precious promises. Yes, the promises of God that have to come true. So that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Oh yeah, is there corruption in this world? Is it caused by evil desires? Absolutely. And we as Christians then need to stand firm. We have to live out that example. And at times people are going to be offended. It will happen. But if we're doing what God says, if we're following his calling, we're doing the right thing. Blessed are you when people persecute you for my name's sake, right? So if you're feeling that prompting, follow through on it. Stand firm, especially in this world today, the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Stand firm. Those evil desires then, as we had learned last week, come from the mind and the heart. Out of the heart come the evil things, right? So that's where they're coming from. So you have to keep your mind and your heart clean, okay? Read the Word of God. Live with other Christians. Things like that. Just get fueled with the right stuff. Don't be putting the trash in your mind because it'll corrupt you. Don't be putting that in your heart. It'll corrupt you. You have to live in the good way. Feed on the right things. You are what you eat. Again, we covered that last week. And being reinforced here once again. So what about this equipping then? Well, it follows here, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. So adding to your faith. We're starting with faith. We're going to add things to it. We're going to supplement it with other things. Faith is important. You have to have that faith, that dependence, that trust in God. It's probably one of the most important things you can have. We have all been through tough times, and your faith gets you through. Knowing, trusting, and obeying God, having that faith. And faith isn't something you can see, hear, touch, taste, or feel, right? It's not like a book or a stand or something like that. It's sort of an intangible thing, but we see the fruits of it. You know who has faith. You see those people. You know that they have faith. And you can identify that those that don't either. And it definitely, those are people that we need to reach. We need to build connections to them, so we can draw them in and build up their faith. Maybe they got a little seed of it in them, okay? But it needs to be built up. It needs to be supplemented. And that's what he's telling us here, to add to your faith. Faith is the core value here that we have to have. Add to that goodness. To be good. To be considerate. To care for others. Those are all things that goodness involves. Again, it's not about us. It's about the way that we treat others in a good way. To live a good life. And that won't be selfish. That's going to be about others. And then to add to that goodness, knowledge. Knowledge about what? Grab the encyclopedia and read it? Probably not what he's talking about here. We can get knowledge through education. Well, that's good too. But knowledge of God and of godly things, I think, is what he's stressing here. And knowing about God is different than knowing God. That's something that, I don't know, with systemic religion or traditional religions many times, you go to Sunday school, that's great, all these things, and you learn all about God. You get to know about God. You could write a book about God because you know about this Bible story and about that, you know about this attribute. But is knowing about him the same as knowing him? No, it's not. As I mentioned before, when I was going through seminary, one of the courses I'd taken was the historical Jesus, where we learned all the historical accounts about Jesus, a lot of them non-biblical, from other contemporary scholars, and they're telling us all about Jesus, and we got to learn a lot about him. It was great, but they're missing the main point about who he is, how he died for us, and for our salvation. That was the important part. You can write a biography that's going to have all the information, where he was born, where he lived, all this stuff, and lay out the whole life. But it's missing the connection. You'll be missing that personal connection that we have with him, about him dying for us because we are corrupt sinners. We are, all every one of us. And there's no way we can make it to heaven by earning it. We can't be good enough. It's impossible. We're human. So he lived the perfect life. He died for us, and to him be the glory. All we got to do is accept it, right? We don't do work. We just, Jesus, I agree, this is what you did. I surrender. We are saved by grace, his grace, what he has done through faith, having faith in it. And this not of our own doing, that no one may boast. So knowing God, and the more you know someone, the closer you become. Knowing God, you're going to become closer to him. You're going to become more like him. And to knowledge, then, self-control. And as Peter's writing this, maybe he's thinking about his younger impulsive days where he was lacking that self-control. I mean, just read about him through the gospel, right? He's the one that just, he's the blurger. He's out there. He's ready to go without thinking. He jumps without thinking. That self-control sometimes evolves with time. Little kids don't have that, do they? They don't have that self-control. They're going to blurt whatever. They're going to do whatever. They don't stop and think it out ahead of time, and they don't control themselves. So with age, we get that. With maturity, we get that, that self-control. And it's going to be equipping then for what we need to have that self-control. To self-control, then perseverance, to be able to stick to it, to stick with it, to not give up. Think about the apostles on their respective missionary journeys later on after the resurrection. Think about Paul all through his journeys. Perseverance. Peter, perseverance. Imprisoned, tortured for the faith. Stoned, Paul recounts all these things that had happened to him, but this perseverance to keep on with the mission. Mission first. To keep on with that mission. So that perseverance, even in tough times, to keep on doing it. To perseverance, then we add godliness, to be more like God. We are not God, but we are called to be more like Christ, to be Christ-like. To have compassion for others, to have love for others. We're getting to the love here in a bit. That's going to top off the list. To godliness and brotherly kindness, being kind to those around us, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to the rest of the world as well, that they can be drawn into the family. Okay, there's a lot of vacancy yet. There's huge amounts of vacancy. There's a lot of people out there that don't know Jesus like we do. They're living without hope. They're living without purpose. They think this life is all there is. There's more to it. We know that. And we need to reach out and bring them in. Go, therefore, make disciples, right? That's a big part of what we do as Christians. And if we're not doing that, better take a look at your lives. Are we doing that? Are we building relationships to people that are perhaps very, very different than us? And if they're not believers, yes, they are going to be different. Alrighty. So brotherly kindness, and then to brotherly kindness, love. Topping off the list. Above all else, put on love. Love yourself, love others, love God. Love God first, of course. Love others. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. So they'll keep you effective and productive. If you've got all those things going on. So try to build those up, those attributes. That you can be effective, that you can be productive for the kingdom, that God make a difference through you. If anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. As a result, not thankful for what Jesus has done for him. So we are to respond to this, to what God has done, how he's equipped us. We are to respond that we can be more effective and more productive. Finally, he closes this section out. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. Okay, I can gloss over that sentence very easily. When we took it apart Tuesday morning, your calling and election. You're each called by God. He called those 12. He also calls us to bring the good news to others, to tell about Jesus and what he has done. You're calling an election. You're also elected. I didn't even run for office. Come on, my name wasn't on any ballot, but yeah, you've been elected. That means someone's putting their trust in you if you've been elected. And hopefully you'll be faithful if you've been elected. You know, unlike a lot of politicians, perhaps, that make a lot of promises, but don't keep them. So you have a calling, and you've been elected. You do these things, you'll never fail, and you'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, the words that I, along with, I believe, almost everybody as Christian wants to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. To hear that as you're welcomed into the kingdom. That day is going to be really cool. And part of me can't wait for it, but there is so much more to be done. So yes, you are called, you are elected. And you say, well, I don't have what it takes. Well, he called 12 men that were common, right? He's calling us who are common. And there's an old saying that he doesn't call those who are equipped. Rather, he equips those who are called. He will give you what you need to go out into this world to make a difference for the kingdom. So respond to that by living it out. Not just reading it, but by living it out. By going out there and making a difference. Don't just identify as a Christian. They say a lot of people identify as Christians when they do a survey. Well, they identified as being Christian. Well, a lot of people identify as a lot of things these days, but it doesn't make it so, right? Just coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. Just if I go stand out in the garage and identify as a car, it doesn't make me a car, okay? So this identity as a Christian is something that we live out. It is something that we do because we are called to it. We are elected by God himself to go out and to bring the good news to others. So let us go out and do it. Amen.